Today in Reykjavik, Iceland, foreign ministers from the NATO countries and Russia endorsed creation of a new NATO-Russia Council. The body, once it's formally approved at a summit in Italy this month, will deal with security threats. In Russia, foreign policy experts are skeptical their country will now have real clout in NATO. But as NPR's Lawrence Sheets reports, they still see today's announcement as a step forward.
In Reykjavik today, NATO Secretary General Lord Robertson hailed the new NATO-Russia Council as historic, even revolutionary.
Together, the countries that spent four decades glowering at each other across the wall of hatred and fear now have the opportunity to transform future Euro-Atlantic security for the better.
But here in Moscow, Russians aren't attaching such extraordinary historical significance to the founding of the new council. The Russian media has given only modest coverage to the Reykjavik meeting. Russians have seen attempts to improve ties with NATO before. The new body replaces the NATO-Russian Permanent Joint Council set up in 1997 and dubbed the group of 19 plus 1. Far from fostering cooperation, that body was crippled by bitter disputes like Russia's opposition to NATO's war over Kosovo. Russian officials sarcastically referred to it as the group of 19 against 1. That bitter experience leads Russian political analysts like Dmitry Trenin to question if the new body will be any different.
And that is not an easy question to answer. Essentially, you are dealing with the same people, you are dealing with the same structures, you are dealing with the same old prejudices. Pouring old wine into the new bottles will not seriously improve the quality of the wine.
Another defense expert, Dr. Arkady Moshis, notes that the new body still gives Russia only a very limited role in NATO decision-making.
The problem within the whole NATO at 20 format is how to give Russia a substantive agenda where it would have a voice, where it would have a say, and de facto where it would have a veto then. And how to define this agenda without limiting the present powers and the present rights of the full NATO members.
NATO diplomats have been quoted as saying Washington resisted proposals to give the Council greater powers. The formula agreed on today provides for coordinating efforts on peacekeeping, anti-terrorism efforts, and regional crises. Analyst Sergei Kartunov sees the agreement as a sweetener to make future NATO expansion more palatable to the Kremlin. But Kartunov says it's still significant as part of President Putin's broader efforts to reintegrate Russia with the West.
Historically, Russia is a part of Europe. At least before the October Revolution, no one doubted in Europe that Russia was an organic part of European civilization. My feeling is that Mr. Putin has understood this. And he's trying to rely upon historical heritage of Russian Empire.
And Viktor Kremenyuk of the USA Canada Institute says the Council could help provide a new impetus for relations between Russia and the West, even if its functions are limited.
So what we have achieved currently, I wouldn't say it's perfect. But I think that we are moving in that direction. So I think that this meeting and this idea of making or creating the Council of 20, where Russia will have at least the right to discuss the issues which have direct relevance to its security, it's already a very good step.
The analysts here say that first step is important, even if many in Russia still regard NATO as a Cold War relic whose mission is increasingly unclear. And they say, if the new council proves to be more than just another talking shop, it might help dispel Russians' lingering image of the West as an enemy. Lawrence Sheets, NPR News, Moscow.